This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, in our study time today, we're going to take a look at a couple of Psalms and just a couple of passages from each one. The first one we're going to look at, the first passage, is Psalm 46, verse 10. And it reads, starting out, "Be still and know that I am God." The Lord says through David in Psalm 46, 10, for us to be still and know that He is God. To obtain that promise that He's telling us about being still and having that peace and having that sense of calm confidence in what's going on, it requires us to be still, to be silent before the Lord, or at least to settle down long enough to let Him speak to us. How many of us have to be honest and say that if we were really honest, we don't really get still that often, or at least that we're not still long enough to have Him speak to us? You see, that requires us to have enough faith to be still and to let Him be God. But what does be still mean? It means to have a trusting heart. It means to have enough confidence in the Lord to let Him be God in our lives. It means that we let go of our fears, concerns, worries, bad attitudes, and constant fretting, and put the whole of our lives in His hands. It means not to worry, to not get frustrated when things don't go the way we want them to. And I've used this John Hagee quote before, but it seems appropriate here to use it again, that worry is the product of us being afraid that we won't get our way. How many of us can identify with that? Yet there's another factor that's involved in the process of being able to be still, and it means to know that the Lord is our shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1, speaks about this, and David starts this most famous of psalms by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, the shepherd is the one who took complete care of the sheep. He led the sheep to fields where they could eat. He led the sheep to water for them to drink. He fought off anything that would harm the sheep. He stayed with them. He was their defender, their protector, and their companion. For their part, the sheep contented themselves to just be with the shepherd. They knew the shepherd, and as much as a sheep thinks about anything, they were quiet and content because they knew the shepherd was still there. This is the key to being still. You see, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." But David made the conscious choice to put himself in the Lord's protection, to reap the benefits of having the Lord as our shepherd. We have to do the very same thing. We have to place our lives consciously in the presence of the Lord and let Him be Him. Then there are the benefits we will receive when we do that. The Jewish Study Bible gives us the English from the Hebrew in this psalm, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." This is a statement of both praise and affirmation. It comes from the awareness that with the Lord, and in our case Jesus, as our shepherd, we are fully in His care, and His care provides for us sufficiently. We lack nothing. Now, don't misunderstand. This does not mean that we will no longer go through difficulties or experience any of the trials or effects of this life. This doesn't mean we won't struggle occasionally. What it does mean is that the lacking nothing, and that in the lacking nothing, we have peace, rest, serenity, guidance, and His restorative power working within us. This means he's with us to fix what's broken, to apply what is lacking, to heal what's ailing, to give us wisdom and guidance when we're off track. It means he will set us back on the right path when we stray. He will supply our needs when we're lacking. David also said he's never seen the righteous forsaken. That means that when we put our lives in his care, and when we get right with him, then we're the righteous, and he will not forsake us. In other words, he's not going to leave us hanging. He may seem like it, but he's not going to. In Psalm 23, David goes on to say that he provides for us. He renews my life. He guides me in right paths. When life seems stale and boring, or when life seems like it's one long disaster movie, he renews our lives. He fixes what's broken. When we're off track and going in the wrong direction, he guides me in right paths. He'll straighten things out and be our heartfelt GPS, as it were, to make sure we're on the right road. The last phrase of this verse tells us why he does these things. David wrote the key words, "For his name's sake." Now, what does that mean? Well, for one thing, it doesn't mean he's doing all of this just because he wants to look good. It means that he's doing these things to fulfill his will and his promises. You see, the Lord promised to protect and provide for his people. He is keeping his promises. He does this to show himself faithful, and in so doing, draw more people into a life-saving relationship with himself. You see, when he's known to be one who keeps his promises, that draws more people to him, because the more people who know he keeps his promises, the more people will want to come to him, because they know he's faithful. And yeah, when that happens, he gets the glory, and his name reigns supreme in all of his creation. He is indeed an all-powerful God and creator, and when his will prevails, all things come out for good, at least for those who love him, and we're better off because his name is being exalted in the earth. So he does it for his name's sake, so he can be found to be faithful, because he promised to take care of us. Then David goes on to say that when we're in danger, when we're even at death's door, or when we're surrounded by things that go bump in the night, we don't have to be afraid. We know that he's there for us. This is true even when our enemies, those who don't like us, those people who would like to see us mess up, those people who would like to see us fail, those people who would even benefit from our failing, when those folks are drawing near, and that's what he means when he talks about making a table in the presence of our enemies, when that happens, he's still there. And this is true when those who would love to see us mess up are spying on us all the time to see if we're going to fail, but he's still looking after us. He is going to fulfill his promise of faithful care. So when we have his presence with us, and when we've turned our lives over to his care, our hearts should be joyful. That's what it means when David says his cup is running over or overflows. We can be joyful even in the presence of difficulty. So what's the end result of all of this? We return to our original psalm text, Psalm 46:10, to bring this to a conclusion. The psalmist in this passage quoted the Lord, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." That verse had an exclamation point at the end. That's a praise. That's giving God glory. So to bring this to a very human level, it means that when we show the benefits and blessings of someone who is walking with the Lord, when we show the peace, the calm and the level-headedness of someone who has put his or her life willingly in the hands of the Lord, that is a powerful witness to those who don't believe. That is a powerful witness to those who do believe. That lifts up the name of the Lord and shows His power. Can we imagine the effect and the impact it would have if all of God's people who claim to follow Him and who name the name of Jesus would live like we really believed that we lack nothing? That we can be still and know that He is God and radiate that confidence to other people. How profound of a witness would that be to the world if they could see God's people living like God's people? It is, my friends, one powerful way to give God glory and to draw people to Him. And in this time now, when people are fearful and worried about this biological organism that's wreaking havoc in our land, we can know that the Lord is our shepherd and that we can be still and know that He's God and that He is in control. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, now that we have heard Your word, we've heard the words that say, "Be still and know that I am God, and the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything." Lord, speak to our hearts to let us know and to assure us that You are always going to be walking with us, that You are with us at all times, that there is never a time when we are not in Your presence. So, Lord, may we go about our day with the confidence that You have supplied us with everything we need, that You are our supplier, our protector, and our defender, and that we have no reason to fear anything. Lord, may we know that we don't have to be afraid, and that as we go out in public and as we go about our daily routine, as we go about our business, may we radiate that peaceful confidence to all of those around us so that we may become true witnesses for You by showing the character of someone who is a blood-bought, God-shielded servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, give us that confidence so that we can win others to You. And Lord, we also pray that Your church in this country and in North America will begin to seek You with all of our hearts. That we will seek You, Lord, and that we will begin to pray and ask for a fresh outpouring and a fresh touch, a fresh move from Your Holy Spirit that will bring about a revival in Your church. And that revival, we pray, would spill out into the streets and become an awakening across our land. Lord, we need an awakening now more than we ever have. Because, Lord, there is fear in this country. There is dishonesty in this country. There is fear over the future. There is fear over the present. And there's even mistrust among people because of this disease that's ravaging our country. So, Lord, we pray for revival that will revive faith and will revive confidence in who You are as Yahweh Yireh, our provider. And we pray these things, Father, in Jesus' wonderfully holy name. Amen and amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.